In 1941, John and Nadine Gillespie moved to Alaska under a call from God to start a Christian camp. They had been married for 7 weeks. Obviously, a pretty big jump. But in that call from God, they believed they were to start a camp whose purpose was to use recreational facilities as a means of reaching people for Christ and encouraging spiritual growth. And in the last 75 years, they have stayed consistent to that purpose and that calling. I guess before I get started, I'd like to thank all the friends and family here, all the encouragement that we have received in this journey, in the days leading up to this, and even just this morning, the prayers. When Jake and I first talked about sharing in front of the church here, and I wanted to share what God has been calling us to, but I think the first thing, it was kind of like a 10 to 15 minute thing, and then later it turned into like a, maybe during Sunday school, 20 to 30 minutes, and then I was like, oh, you guys can have the message. Cool. But yeah, no, we're excited about it. I'm excited about sharing what camp is about, what Victory Bible Camp is about, how God has led us there, and then also our vision for our work there and how we believe God is calling us to work there. Yeah, Victory Bible Camp is in southern Alaska. It's kind of funny to call it southern because it's like way north of what we are. And as you can tell, it's beautiful. It's absolutely gorgeous. Let's see if I know how to use this thing. There we go. So there's a map of Alaska. Victory Bible Camp is about 2 hours northeast of Anchorage, and it's the little red dot there in the southern part of the state. The vision of Victory Bible Camp is victory in Christ through Christian camping in Alaska, and their mission statement is Victory Bible Camp exists to evangelize and disciple children and youth for Jesus Christ in Alaska through Christian camping. When John and Nadine were searching for a place to start Victory Bible Camp or a property, they were looking for several things. They had a prayer list of things they were praying for that they believed were essential for this camp. Some of those things were a lake surrounded by high ground, so it wouldn't get flooded or have any other problems with flooding or marshiness, good natural spring water supply, and a main road halfway between Anchorage and Glen Allen. Glen Allen is not on the map there, but it would be right here. So they found this perfect spot right where Victory Bible Camp is located today. I will just be, sharing a few more photos so you all can see actually how beautiful it is. These were all taken by me with a smartphone, so no fancy equipment, not even a fancy camera or a fancy phone. It's just, it was incredibly beautiful up there. And that's kind of one of the purposes of having the camp there, is to allow a place where people can come, can get away from some of the busyness of life. They can see a place surrounded by God's beauty and His creation, the majesty, the things He's created. There's some more of the camp. Camp is located on two lakes Index Lake and Shallow Lake. And then in the background, you can see the kind of the famous Victory Peak. This picture here is not on Camp's property, but it is the hike that some of us guys did when we went up there on a mission trip. Hiked up there, and just some more photos from that hike. As I mentioned, they were looking for a lake, good spring water supply, and easy access to a road halfway between Anchorage and Glen Allen. This is from on top of a mountain, looking down at camp. So camp is right here. You can see two lakes, and then camp is kind of located right between them. And it's hidden by this little rise or ridge right here. The rest of the camp is located right in here. But the river, there's a river that flows right through here. Even got a glacier 6 miles away. I can't say that here. And then the road, the main highway, goes right along the river. So basically you just top this rise and you're there at Victory Bible Camp. Some more interesting facts that I found about Victory Bible Camp. They purchased it in 1945, or it was founded in 1945, and the first camp was held in 1947. Alaska was still a territory at this point, so they had to go and do some special stuff with Congress in order to purchase property from Alaska, purchase property in Alaska from Congress. But the first 40 acres, they purchased for $3.20 an acre. The next 40 acres, they purchased for $10 an acre. So total, they got the first 80 acres for $528. In today's money, that is $8,270. Absolute steal of a deal. If they were to try to purchase that property now, I'm sure it would be millions and millions. Camp has had some changes in their history, but the one thing they have stayed consistent on is reaching people for Christ and encouraging them as they encouraging them in spiritual growth. And they are very intentional, not just on trying to get people. So the purpose is to reach people for Christ. They want people to realize they need Jesus as their personal savior and to turn their life over to him. And one of my questions I had for Mike, the director, was just how they go about that. What is their, what is focused? Is this a shallow, let's see if we can get as many converts as we can, or is this something that there is depth to it, that people know why they're turning their lives over to Jesus? Because my belief is that if we are to just try to convert people and have them be shallow, we can actually do the kingdom of God a disservice by weakening or bringing down the power and the meaning of what it means to serve God. And then also we have Christians who don't really know what it is and aren't actually completely committing their whole life to Christ. When they do have, they are very clear on reaching people for Christ. But when they talk to their campers, various people they meet, whoever it is, they're very clear on the reward, what they're getting in this commitment to Christ, salvation, and then also their very salvation not going to hell, but going to heaven and getting eternal life with Christ, but then also the price that is paid. It's not simply a here's what you get, go do as you will, but they're very clear that this is turning your life over to Christ. It's not simply a shallow, weak thing, and all the people they talk to are through very clear conversations. It's not a speak it in your heart to God or raise your hands. It's a very clear conversation with each person, each camper, each volunteer, whoever comes there, who they spread Christ to. It's a very clear conversation with that person. I'm going to share about just kind of what camp looks like in general. There are different programs, but I guess before I do that, I'll be talking about what camp is about, and then be sharing some of my story leading up to this, how God has been using the different areas he's put me into to prepare me for this, and then Shanna would like to share some of her story leading up to this. I guess I didn't clear that with the ministry, but she's not going to preach, so it's okay. She'll be sharing some of her story, and then I'll be following that up with our vision for it, how we've been feeling God calling us to Victory Bible Camp, and how we'll be used there. After that, we'll be talking about some of the support and some of the other, I guess, logistics that will be needed at Victory Bible Camp. And then I'll follow it up with a challenge. The main part of Victory Bible Camp is their 8-week programs during the summer, June and July. They have one a week Bible camps. They bring in anywhere from, it's like 70 to, I think they have facilities for like 130 or so campers. They bring those in, have Bible camp for a week. And they do that for 8 weeks during the summer. On either end, they have retreats. They open it up for churches and ministry groups to come in and have their own retreats in order to be refreshed, be renewed, and then also to disciple their people. So the two sets of campers each summer are the 7 to 17-year-old campers and then also the 17 to 27-year-old campers. So the lower age group is what they would call the campers. Those are the people who come to the camp as campers. They have different activities for them. There's different different programs. There's ranch camp, adventure camp, alpine. And I think there's another one that's not running right now. They have different activities. Each different thing is, they have different things kind of fine-tuned. I mean, the ranch camp has to do with horses, alpine. They can do some stuff more in the mountains, and it's kind of just a general camp. And the adventure camp, they do different things. They'll go ahead and learn how to build a shelter. They might go and camp out in the woods for half the week. They go out there, build their own shelter, then they have to go and live in it for the next several days. So that is the lower age group. The 17 to 27-year-olds would be what we would call their counselors. So they believe in what they call the 50-50 investment rule, or their rule, I guess. But they invest as much time into their counselors as they do, or their counselors and summer staff, as they do their campers. So it's not not simply put energy into the children. That is their main focus. That's in their mission statement. But also, whoever comes into their camp, they are very intentional about discipleship, about reaching them for Christ, encouraging them any way to better prepare them to in their walk with God, and then also to go and serve others as they go away from there. And that was something that we ran into. Cheyenne and I went with the youth group up to Victory this past July. And I guess I didn't know a whole lot about the program. I didn't know what all we were expected. I mean, I knew we were there to work. But from the beginning, the moment we got there, it was clear that we're not just here to work. They have a plan. They have teaching for us. They're planning to invest in our lives to better equip us to grow and also to lead when we go back home. And that was challenging for me. I thought we were just there to work like most mission trips, but they were very intentional that you're not here just to work. You're here to learn how to lead like Jesus led. That program was called doulos, which in Greek means slave or servant. They didn't tell us what doulos meant until Wednesday, so we didn't know we were slaves until Wednesday. But one of the things that I love about Victory is their intentionality about whoever comes into the camp, whoever they rub shoulders with, whether it's the full-time staff, the campers, the summer staff, the counselors, volunteers who come in on a weekly thing or a summer thing, whether it's anybody who comes to the camp as maintenance, whoever they come into contact with, they're very intentional to reach them for Christ and then to disciple, to encourage them and better prepare them to go out into whatever other path they're going. Victory also has horse programs as a tool for evangelism and discipleship through their ranch camp. They do that as the campers, and then also there's year-round staff who can come in and take care of the horses during the winter when they're not using them for the main camp. They offer a high school summer discipleship program called SALT, which is Servant and Leadership Training. It's a two-week program for 16 or 17-year-olds that is it's a bit more than just the summer camp, but it allows people who have been to camp before as campers to come back and have a place where they can have more teaching. It's a two-week program, so they're for 2 weeks. And then they have classes with some of the staff Bible classes, and then also they are the ones who do a lot of the work there. They do a lot of the cleaning and some of those other things. But yeah, very, very intentional opportunity to learn how to be a servant and how to lead as a servant. Victory also creates a retreat environment for church and ministry groups to come and hold their own retreats in order to evangelize and disciple their people for Alaska, and also for Victory to partner with the local church. So that is the thing that's done from August to May. Throughout the rest of the year, they also use that as a way to support the summer camp. They try to keep the summer camp as economical for as cheap as possible, so that as many campers, as many children can come as possible. And so the retreats are a way to help support that part of the camp. But that's a huge thing during the fall and the spring. They use that. There's ministry groups that come in. I think this past year there was a 100 Alaskan missionaries from all over the state came in and had a week or 2 weeks of just a retreat to get together, come together, share stories, and be encouraged by each other's, testimonies on what God has been doing in the rest of Alaska. And then I mentioned doulos, which is what the youth group was a part of. It's for youth and young adults. Seeks to change how the leadership in this world is taught and acted out. And that's based on, I think it's Matthew 20:25-28, talking about leading as a servant and leading as Christ told us. Their hope is to equip youth and young adults to go out into the workplace and lead as Christ would. The Outpost is a 9-month gap year program for 18 to 21 year olds. People who are in college, who are looking to gain more experience as just a well-rounded individual with training and experience in different things, but then also to discover more about how God has designed them and what He may be calling them to. So the Outpost runs from August to May, and they have classes 1 to 3 days a week, Bible classes, other things to better prepare them as missionaries or to grow them spiritually. And then they also have, they get a lot of experience in various things. So one day they might go, you know, clean. The next day they might be in the kitchen helping serve food. Another day they might be out landscaping, might be learning how to weld, they might be learning how to work on vehicles, reach out to other people. It's a program, I'm a big fan of it. It's a program where they learn a lot more about Christ. They see what camp is about, how a Christian camp is run. They see that opportunity available to them, and then they're also involved in that work and can gain a lot of experience and growth just as a overall, just skills. I'd like to read a quote from John Gillespie, who is a founder. He wrote, "More important than the physical facilities is the work of grace wrought in the hearts and lives of literally hundreds of people. Not only have boys and girls been reached with the Word of God, but hundreds of young people who have served as counselors and older ones, who have helped in various ways, have seen missions firsthand, and lives and goals have been changed for eternity." He mentions lives and goals have been changed for eternity. That's kind of our story. I mean, before we went to Victory, Alaska was not on our minds. Like, we didn't even think about it until we were up there and felt God calling us. But Alaska was not somewhere that we felt we had been called to and or hadn't really thought about before. But the thing that sticks out to me about that is not only the... So yes, there have been thousands of people who have come to know Christ, turned their life over to Christ in the last 75 years at Victory. But then also, with their focus on growing not just the campers, but their discipleship, all the programs they have for youth, for their volunteers, for young adults, their staff, to better prepare them for their work there at Victory, but then also wherever they go, to better prepare them to serve there. There's a number of people who go to Victory Bible Camp and are there for a number of years and then end up moving on to another ministry and have been better equipped because of their time at Victory. I guess I'm not really watching the clock too much. My feeling is I'm just going to share what I have, and I guess if y'all get tired of listening to me, there's food out there, you can eat it. One little side note, I forgot to mention about Victory Bible Camp. Actually, I'll mention that later. Yeah, I'll mention that later. So, looking back at how God has called us there and our journey there, would like to share some of my journey, my story, and as Jake mentioned, it's not just my story, but how God has worked in my life, in Shana's life, to bring us together and to prepare us for our work at Victory. Not really sure how much detail to go into with my story. I guess I'll just say as a young person, I felt one thing I struggled with was a lack of purpose. I felt I didn't have a whole lot of value. I didn't know what I was worth. Was I actually what was my point here? And I'd go to church and I'd hear messages and I would, hear the call to go out. But I didn't really know what that looked like. And through a bunch of stuff in my life, I started to just hold stuff inside. I was a very quiet young man or youth, and I didn't talk a whole lot, and I didn't know how to explain or talk about my feelings, what I was going through with people, and so my world became pretty small, and because I didn't talk to anybody, it's kind of hard to either, people have to be very intentional about coming to you and asking how you're doing, which I would just kind of push them off and say I was fine, or you have to talk with people in order to share how you're feeling, and if you don't talk with people about what you're going through, you can believe a lot of lies about yourself. You can believe a lot of lies about God. And that was part of my problem. I viewed God as a judge, and that was it. I didn't know what it was to see God as a father. It was a year and a half ago, almost 2 years ago, at a sold-out conference. Rick Rhodes was talking about either we see God as a judge or as a father. I was like, what? That's the same thing. A father is a judge. I just saw God as a judge or a judge. And this is not to talk bad about my father here. That's not what it is at all. And I guess just to explain a little bit more, I didn't tell my dad I was going to share some of this stuff, but we're good. This is not to talk down on him or anything he did. It was just simply part of my life growing up. So I started school in first grade. My dad was the principal. And so from age 7 to when I would have been 16, the majority of my life, I saw my dad at school as an authority figure. And at that early age, I didn't know how to separate the difference between an authority figure and my dad. And beginning at age 7, that created a thing where I didn't know how to go talk to my dad. And so that ended up creating some of that, seeing God as a judge rather than a father, simply because at that early age, I didn't know how to separate, all the hours I saw him at school as a principal and as a teacher versus, the evenings or on the weekends. And that had a big effect on my life. Not that I'm feeling sorry for myself. I have healing from that, but it did affect my life, and it affected the way I saw God, which affected the rest of my life a lot. And so because I was kind of trapped in myself, I didn't know how to talk to people. I was too scared to talk to people. I felt a lot of worthlessness and a lack of purpose. I didn't know what I was here for. And I honestly believed I was never going to be able to live for God. I wanted to so bad, but I didn't think I'd ever be able to live with a clear conscience, with a clear heart, that God would ever be able to forgive me for what I did. And as I joined the youth group in my mid to late teens, had some conversations with friends, and there were a number of things that played a part in my life into changing that. Going to Bible school, learning more about who God really is, what he did for me. And through that understanding of what it feels like to be a youth and to feel like I don't have a purpose, like I don't belong, like I don't have any value, like God doesn't have a plan for me, I developed a heart for youth. And I know what it's like to go through those really important years of growth and development and to feel like you don't belong or you don't have a value. And I was about 20, I felt God telling me that working with youth was going to be a big part of my life, the rest of my life. And through that, most of you know that I went to Bald Eagle Boys Camp, was a group counselor there, chief there for 2 years, and that played a huge part in my life. That was my desire was to go and serve and help the boys, but also to get an understanding, to grow, to learn how to lead, to learn how to, I wasn't planning to learn how to talk. I thought I knew how to talk, but anybody who knows me, like before camp, that was a different me than standing up here talking now. Learning how to talk, how to lead, learning how to interact with youth, learning how to understand them better. It's not just a one-size-fits-all plan. Anybody with children know that you can't just treat all your children the same way because they have different attitudes, they have different emotions, all kinds of things, different characteristics. And those were some things that I learned there. They were very valuable. They were the hardest 2 years of my life, but I wouldn't trade them for anything. When I was there, I had a clear purpose. I knew what I was there for. I knew why I was there. I knew what I was doing. And I loved it. I loved how it felt to wake up in the morning and to know I can put everything I have into this and I know what I'm doing. After camp, I felt God calling me to come back here and jump back in the youth group and figure out how it is just to live a normal 9-to-5, go to work, do all those things. And I honestly did not want to. I did not want to figure out how to jump back into work and like, why am I working? Like, I'd rather be at camp or something where I can just be all in. And right after I came back from Bald Eagle, I actually was asked to be a chief at Camaragh Boys Camp for 2 years, which is a camp in Ireland. And I wanted to really, really badly, because that would have been so much more comfortable for me than coming back here and dealing with what I felt was a lack of purpose. I didn't know what I was, what do I do here? I go and work. Yay, that's so much fun. I make money. Like, what's money for? Well, I did that. And looking back now, I can see how God was clearly working and moving in order to prepare me for this. I jumped back in the youth group, did some cool stuff like grabbing four other guys and driving out to Colorado and having a party in an old Suburban. Stopping 8 times on the way up Pikes Peak to let the engine cool down. But as I learned to get to know some of the youth better, I also got to know this young lady, and she happens to be my wife now, and not just happens. There were some very clear decisions that went on in that. But that was the one thing we discovered as we started talking early in our relationship was that we both had a passion for youth, for children. And we feel that God brought us together for a purpose. Another thing that happened in the last 4 years here is I had a love for working on vehicles, mechanics, before I went to camp in my late teens was when I started that, but but I actually started as a mechanic at Mass Service Center about 3 years ago. And through that, I've gained a lot of experience, a lot of understanding. Leonard does a very good job of training us, giving us opportunities to grow, and just a good culture as a mechanic shop, and learning what it takes to make things run smoothly, caring about customers, doing quality jobs, different things like that, that looking back now, I can see are a huge benefit in taking that to Victory Bible Camp. Another thing that was a big growth was Cheyenne and I's premarital counseling with Jonathan and Debbie. I went into that and I pretty quickly told them that I don't like counseling. I was a counselor, but I didn't like counseling. I didn't like it on myself. But it was really, really good. It wasn't just about marriage, but it was a big part of it was emotional stuff, spiritual stuff. And some stuff that came up was my view of God and the lies I believed about God and how the lies I believed about God affected how I viewed myself, my purpose, what I was here for, a bunch of different stuff. And through that, I had a lot of healing. My relationship with God as Father has changed completely through that. And it has had a huge effect on my life. Just this past summer, I learned a lot about surrender and about learning to give God glory. I learned that life is really about God. We read the Bible, and the focus is on, like, when I read it, I often think of people. I often see people and all their stories, but really it's the main focus is about God. And in each story, God is seeking to bring glory to himself. And he deserves to, because what else can we glorify that's worthwhile? And through that, it gave me a joy to do what God wants me to do, and no matter the cost, because what else are we to do? People often mention that, do you know it's cold up there? Yeah, we know. But if that's where God's calling us to, are we really supposed to be worried about the cold or the darkness or where support's going to come from, how we're going to get up there? Really, are we going to let the cold keep us from that? Or are we going to give God glory and live for that? And that has changed my life in seeing that. At work, I like to listen to, if I'm on a bigger job, I like to listen to the Bible. And I've been going through the Old Testament, and over and over and over again, I see God's faithfulness. Often we see these things the Old Testament is about God's wrath, and then the New Testament is his mercy. But I was just listening to the Old Testament, and I'm blown away by God, how God was faithful to the Israelites no matter what they did. He should have destroyed them, but because he had promised them that he was going to work through them, he kept them. And that's the only reason, because it wasn't about who the Israelites were, it wasn't because of what they did. It was because God promised them. And through that, I've just seen so much more about who God is and his faithfulness. Even when we mess up, he's still looking to bring himself glory. And so no matter what the situation, no matter what hardships I might face, can I go ahead and give him glory? I think I'll let you share.
Of this. So backing up, missions or mission work has always been something that has been on my heart. for a long time. Any kind of mission presentation or anything that was happening here at church, I was like, can we be here for it? But around the age of maybe 16 or so was when I started thinking of more of like, you know, where do I want to go? What do I want to do with my life? Where do I want to serve? I love babies and young children. And so I was like, well, maybe I can go somewhere where I can work with children. But everything that I kind of thought of or that came to mind was like you had to be at least 18 or like 21. I'm like, that's a long time to wait. I don't know exactly where this came from, but I just kind of had this mindset of like, you know, I'll go serve somewhere and then, you know, maybe early 20s or something like that, you know, I'll get married and yeah. Well, that didn't happen and I'm not mad about it. something that I noticed about David when we started dating, before we started dating, was the way that he interacted with the youth and or the younger youth and even those that weren't in the youth group yet, and some of those happened to be some of my siblings. But I really appreciated the way that he took time to talk with them and interact with them. Then when we started dating and I got to know him more and I learned about his passion for youth and young teens, it was really cool to see how some of our desires or dreams had so many similarities just with, a love for children and, having purpose in life. Something that I also struggled with as well was communicating or talking, and so that was something that I learned how to do better. And in that, found myself spending more time with some of the younger youth as well, the younger girls. I've been really, really enjoyed that. Really appreciate each one of those. And then also was asked to teach Bright Lights, which has really been a stretch for me, but it's also been really good in seeing God work, just in my life even. And something that I've also been learning over, the past few months is surrender as well. It's not something that's been easy, but it's also been really good. Feel like I've been growing in that, but still have a long way to go. But just learning to give everything to God. When David first mentioned something about feeling a call to go back to Alaska and serve, I was kind of like, wait, what? It wasn't something that had crossed my mind at first. And so, but over with talking about it and praying about it the next several weeks and stuff, I could feel that, going back to Alaska was where we should go. Just learning to give those questions that I had and just the uncertainties, giving those to God and knowing that he'll take care of it. Learning to trust him more. Alaska wasn't exactly where I thought I would be. But I'm excited about it, and I believe that God has been preparing me, just the last several years, just personally for me, I felt there's been a lot of change, and I really feel like it's been something that has grown me, and then just in bringing the two of us together has been something that was, preparing us for this, and I am excited and looking forward to it.
That food smells good. I'll try to keep moving with this. I guess sharing some of our journey together since we've been married, we talked about how felt God had brought us together for a purpose, working with youth and children. And that was actually one big reason why we ended up starting to attend here and became members was we felt God calling us to continue working with youth, and at Clay Street, where I had been attending, there weren't really any youth. There was one. And here, we had lots of relationships. I have been working on building those for years and felt like that was where God was calling us. And also, for Cheyenne to be able to work with children. And we didn't really know what all that looked like. But it's interesting because in the last year, soon after we were married, Cheyenne started helping several young mothers with their children, and still does that occasionally or regularly. We didn't know what that was going to look like. And then with Bright Lights, starting to teach it in, I feel it was August. That was also something that Cheyenne did not have on her radar or was exactly planning on. But, and if you had told her 2 years ago, she would not have believed you, because she mentioned the struggling to communicate with people and just talk. But we feel like that God has been using, has been faithful in his direction here. And then also through that, with our connection with the youth group, we ended up going along on the mission trip to Victory. When we were there, I fell in love with the place pretty quickly. It's a camp. It felt very similar to Bald Eagle Boys Camp. I loved my time there, and I fell in love with the place very quickly, the culture, the atmosphere. It's incredibly beautiful, which I still have some more pictures. Absolutely gorgeous. But as we went through the week, I believe it was Friday, they had a time of worship and prayer and singing for the counselors after all the campers went home. And we were sitting there, and through the songs, one song in particular, all of a sudden I felt a very clear call from God saying, make this your home. Like, you're going to come back. And everybody else was probably just sitting there listening to the singing or listening to people were sharing, and I was just like, whoa, this is crazy. And you know, if this is really what we're supposed to do, I was thinking through all the stuff that it would mean, but felt that very clear call. And yeah, Cheyenne and I started talking about it, and we had a lot of conversations. We had a lot of times of prayer and talking to God and asking, is this what you have us, what you would have us do? And we came out of that with a clear calling and a belief that we are supposed to go to Bald Eagle, not Bald Eagle, Victory Bible Camp. When we were there, I noticed a clear need for a mechanic. And there was also some staff who mentioned to me, it was probably a dozen times, we could really use a full-time mechanic around here. One in particular even preached over the pulpit at me about us coming back to fill the mechanic position. And so that is the position that I'll be filling, is the mechanic, the auto shop coordinator. So working on vehicles, fixing them, helping them run reliably, and then also, just kind of in charge of the vehicles in general, their care, who takes care of them, or who uses them, and organizing some of that stuff. I believe that my time at Bald Eagle helped prepare me for the time at Victory, because it gave me an understanding of how the camps work, and although we'll be more of a support staff, I understand the importance of the support staff because of my time at Bald Eagle, and so I believe that will help me do my job better at Victory. And it won't just be taking care of vehicles. They, like I said, they're very intentional about whoever you run into, discipling and building relationships and encouraging. And so whether it's campers or counselors, other staff we run into, their mission there, the focus is relationships. And so if I'm working on a vehicle, fixing it, and another staff member comes by, or a camper, a counselor, whoever it is, my purpose is to build relationships with them, talk with them, encourage them, help them grow spiritually in whatever it might be. And so that's really encouraging. that we'll be able to have interaction with a lot of people. It's not just go up and fix cars, because I do that here. I might as well just stay here if that's what I'm supposed to do. But to use how God has prepared us in different ways, both in experience with fixing cars, and then also working with youth and other people. Yeah, one, I guess we'll be transitioning into some of more of the support stuff. But before I do that, one little fact about Victory is that it's in Alaska, and it's only 300 miles from North Pole. So it's going to be pretty cold. Now, notice I didn't say the North Pole, I said North Pole. There's a town 300 miles north of Victory called North Pole. It's substantially farther to the North Pole. We're not going to be that far north. One thing we often get from people is, you know, it's going to be cold, right? Well, I just like to share what Cheyenne and I like to do when we go camping. This is what our camping looks like. This is about single digits and about 30 mile an hour winds. This was actually a trip in March to northern Michigan to look at the giant icicles with my brother Jonathan and his girlfriend Jolene. As Jolene mentioned, it warmed up to a balmy 13 degrees during the day. And then that night we went and camped in way out in the boondocks, about 2 to 3 feet of snow, and yeah, it was cold. So yeah, I think we'll be fine. God will take care of us. If y'all are still worried about us being cold, you can just ship us some firewood or whatever you want to do. So yeah, with the thing about moving up to Victory, there's a lot of, I guess, just stuff that needs to happen first. We're looking at moving in beginning of April. That's what we're shooting for. The camp or the full-time staff they ask that they are 100% missionary supported, or that we raise our own support, and that's just to help keep the rest of the camp able to keep it cheaper so that the campers can go for a decent price. We're asked that we raise 100% of our support, and that's basically just talking to a number of people, praying and sending out letters and asking people to support us. Because of some interesting laws in Alaska, they require the full support would be right at $3,600 a month. And they've tried to work with the state of Alaska, but there's just some interesting rules, and there's a lot more to it, but that's the easiest way to say it, is that there's some interesting rules, and they can't really get around it while still, being under the laws there and respecting their authority. So, we'll have to raise that support. The financial team here has mentioned that they will be coming to church with that, but we'll also be asking a number of people to help support us. We have to have all our support promised or have it already for a year before we go up. So that's a big jump for two people who don't really like asking people for stuff. But we believe that if God is calling us there, then who are we to get in the way of making that happen? Yeah, there's a number of other questions you might have. I'll try to wrap this up, but If you have any other questions, feel free to come and talk to us. I will be posting a letter from the director on the bulletin board back there. It's just a letter they write to each of their staff when they commit to coming, that they can send to their supporters or people that are asking for support, and basically just share what they'll be doing and a little bit about the camp. I'll be posting that in the back probably, yeah, sometime this week. We really appreciate all the prayers and support we've had so far, all the encouragement. Shannon and I got to spend an evening with James and Glad and hear about their experience in Canada. And so we had a lot of, it was just really good to hear some of that long-term vision and what it takes. One thing I didn't mention is that Victory Bible Camp does not have a time commitment for their full-time staff. They simply ask that God calls the right people and that they stay as long as God calls, as long as God has them there for. So we are going to be going up there, and we do not have a known date when we'll be coming back or if we'll be coming back. It's kind of tough to swallow that sometimes, but it's okay. We will be there as long as God calls us, therefore. And if he calls us somewhere else, then we'll do our best to follow that. Wrapping this up, is my challenge for each of you, and especially for the youth. It can feel really difficult to go through life when you don't know a clear direction from God about where you're supposed to be or what you're supposed to be doing. But God does have a purpose for you. He created you for a reason, and he's got a purpose for you. He gave you talents. If you use those talents, he'll give you more. And if you don't use them, well, he might give them to someone else. So I guess, have faith that God will lead you and search for his leading. And sometimes for me personally, the toughest times are when God is calling me to prepare for something rather than go and do something. I'd rather go do something and know where I am than to prepare for it. The last 4 years I thought were dumb originally. I didn't want to come back here and live in northern Indiana. But looking back, I can clearly see how God was preparing me for the next step, with experience as a mechanic, learning to know him better, developing a deeper relationship with him, learning to get to know youth better, jumping in with the youth group, getting married to someone who also has a passion for youth and children. And so often when we're in the middle of it, it can seem like, what's the point, or where really are we going? But if God is calling you somewhere, if God is telling you go, then go. And he'll take care of you. If you're faithful, it will bring him glory. It may not be easy, and it may not be something that's fun or exciting or wonderful or even something that brings you a lot of success, because that's not what he's trying to do. He can do that. He can bring you success in world or earthly things, but his main purpose is to bring himself glory. And if we are committed to that and committed to following him, he will bring himself glory. And the amazing thing of it is that we are allowed to be a part of that mission. We're allowed to be a part of that work. Flawed human beings, sinful, who he goes and transforms and allows us to be a part of his amazing plan. I'll turn it back over to Jake.